You're listening to How Did You Scale That? The show where we dive into what's worked for entrepreneurs who have made over seven figures in their business. Whether it's a tactic, a marketing campaign, a sales system, or something ridiculously simple, this is the show where we unpack it and give it to you to help you grow your six-figure business into a seven-figure business and beyond. I'm Luis Diaz. Now let's meet our guests for today. Today we are talking about affiliate marketing and influencer marketing with an expert by the name of Joey Valancourt. Quick backstory about how I met Joey. If you think or flash back to 5 or 6 years ago when I was still in the health and wellness space, running a podcast dedicated to helping guys get six-pack abs and selling affiliate products and selling my own offers, I met Joey through a company called BioOptimizers, and which is still around today. And Joey was the affiliate manager at the time. He has taken off since then and become one of the thought leaders in the affiliate marketing and influencer marketing space. Today's episode, we get into the tactics and the nitty-gritty of how to do influencer marketing right. That means if you, listening to this podcast right now, has a company that is selling a product, maybe a supplement, maybe it is a course, maybe it is a service, you're going to be blown away because some of the specific tactics of how to negotiate the deal with the influencer, how to do the outreach for the influencer, what the outreach for a influencer with 5,000 followers looks like, and what the outreach for an influencer with 1 million followers looks like. We get into all of that today on this interview, okay? So take notes. Make sure you check out the links below because Joey was gracious enough to send me the link to his free course, which I'm going through myself right now, having my assistant go through it as well, because this stuff is game changer. And I don't say that about a lot of things. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you found it valuable. And I hope you go and check out partnerupprofits.com and hit Joey up because he is very talented. Okay. Enjoy this episode with my friend, Joey Valancourt. Joey, man, thanks for coming on. We have known each other via email probably for about 5 or 6 years back when I was in my fitness days, which was a very short stint, but it's good because I've seen your name. Like you weren't a flash in the pan, like you consistently showed up like all the way up until now, man. So it's great to have you on How Did You Scale That? Because partnerships and JVs and really the way you've grown businesses is something that I am trying to do and currently learning and getting better at. But I definitely haven't done it as long as you. So thanks for coming on, man. I'm excited to jump in with you.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. Excited to talk shop and everything to deliver a lot of value.
Cool, man. So obviously you're a different person from how I met you 5 years ago. So I want to kind of dive into how did you start in the affiliate? You were an affiliate manager when I first met you. So how did you start there and kind of built the relationships and got to where you're at now?
Yeah, it's a bit of a crazy story. So you mentioned fitness days. I was into fitness modeling like back in 2007, 2008. So I was up on stage in like a mankini type thing. I met this big bodybuilder named Dave Ruel, the Muscle Cook. I don't know if you remember Dave, but like he had the metabolic cooking info books and he was crushing it. And I was doing my own thing in fitness and I started to write a lot of blogs. And I was, like I said, kind of my own personality based business at the time. Ended up hating doing it myself and marketing myself because I wasn't the biggest guy and I was getting like a lot of scrutiny on YouTube. So right. Dave recognized me as a great writer and he's like, hey, do you want to come write blogs for me and copyright? And I didn't really know what a copywriter was, didn't really know how a blog was managed, but I was like, cool, let's do that. Started off as a pet project and then all of a sudden I quit my corporate cubicle cage job. You know, I was like a technologist and I hated my life. I hated my career. Cool. Started to write with Dave. And then started to do a lot of affiliate management with him, but had no formal training like most of us end up not having in this type of career path.
Right.
And then fast forward, you know, I started working with a few new companies through Dave, mutual companies, including a few agencies. Met Matt Gallant from BioOptimizers, yeah. And we were running things together. He brought me in to do consulting. And then ultimately now I started to do business development and open up new partnership channels for new companies and clients and really moved into also consulting for people on how to scale their partnership channels with both strategy, execution, and tactics that I've seen work, you know, over the course of a decade. And my main thing I rely on is systems. I'm a systems guy. So I look at everything as a system. And even though I knew nothing about influencers, I was able to work with over 1,000 influencers and open up like 8-figure channels just through influencers, and my social following is like 100 people. So
that's insane, dude. Okay. So you piqued my interest and you already gave me the title for this episode. It's called 8-figure influencer channels. That's what we're going to call it. Thanks for that name. I love it. So you mentioned there, first of all, Dave Ruel, he's like a big brother to me. So I love that you connected to Dave, but you mentioned you got 100 followers. You have a small following online. Like, you're the guy behind the scenes building the systems that are helping these companies scale with influencers and partnerships. And the thing that always got me with influencers and partnerships is that essentially it's a relationship. And I always found it hard to systematize a relationship and systematize how you actually, one, add value to that relationship, whether it's like, you know, somebody who is a JV partner with you or joint venture partner, or they're promoting, you're just in like a straight up, they're a referral partner, something similar. How do you systematize that relationship and adding value to it and also being able to monetize it? Which I think is a loaded question, but I'm going to throw it at you anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question, but I would say that what I do is first I test a lot of different things. I never develop a system unless I test the crap out of it. And then I say, okay, it's working. Now we can systematize it. Now I can optimize it. Similar to like marketing and copywriters, if you're split testing things, you know, what gets measured gets improved. So yeah. Same thing for me. It was like, let's just use what I think might work and then let's measure the response rate. So I'm a big analytics guy too. And it's boring stuff, but you know, if I'm able to understand things and then improve them consistently, I can then turn them into what I like to call like playbooks. Think of these as systems and tools that you can use and replicate and give to your teams to continue to learn and understand. So I'm a big bootstrapper guy too. Like I'm still using Google Sheets. Like we're running 9-figure companies here. And yeah, there's some softwares that you can pay, you know, a lot of money for, but I love teaching systems that are independent of having to pay a big software company anything. So I'm still in Google Sheets and I'm automating the system of touch points for people. So I'll give you an example. You know, if day one is outreach and then all of a sudden acquisitions day 90 or day 120, okay, there's specific checkpoints of what's happening, but there's an evolution and an ascension of relationships and partnerships. And depending on if it's an influencer versus an affiliate and direct response or a podcast, there's different systems that apply. But essentially, I'm taking the guesswork out. So I'm developing a system that on day 120, here's what you're sending. It's a reminder checkpoint system for the teams. On day 365, on day whatever the double of 365 is, I'm not a good mathematician. Yeah. But like everything is laid out for me. And it's just as simple as a checkbox system. And you can integrate that with like, you know, Asana and different softwares if you want to, or literally checkbox and Google Sheets. But it really is having a system and automation and people running it and specific messaging and then measuring it. Like, are people responding? Are people liking this message? Am I getting good relationship building equity out of these systems so far?
Right. That is so cool. First of all, that you use, you know, Google Sheets just to run these big companies, and then also you create systems out of them. Because as a company, we've tried so many different softwares for project management and it's just a headache. You got to learn the new thing, a new software every single time. You know, updates come, updates go. Sometimes companies leave or just die. So the fact that you've done it with Google Sheets is impressive. The second thing I think that I want to dive into more is, could you give me an example of, like, let's just say you have a goal. One of your goals is to, like, you know, find 10 new influencers to promote a supplement company, right? Like, how does that work? You mentioned outreach. I'm sure you've done a lot of testing with that, but like, what would be the system or the pathway you take to finding those 10 influencers and then eventually turning them into like an affiliate partner or influencer partner?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I always preface this, like, you know, influencers isn't for every company out there, but there are companies that don't think influencers is for them. And it totally is. It's just the way you look at it. And that's really my superpower. I'm able to kind of come into companies and be like, you guys haven't even considered influencers, but trust me, there's a playbook here. There's a way to get this. Now, actually, to prospect effectively, you know, here's the direct way people mostly take. It's like, I'm going to go find people promoting health and fitness products if I have a health and fitness supplement. Cool. That will probably get you good returns. But what I like to do, it's a bit of a hidden strategy or just under the radar, is like, what are the harmonized customer bases of people that I can go after? Meaning, if I'm selling a sleep product, okay, well, I'm not going to target other people promoting that same sleep product niche. I'm going to go after people maybe wearing blue light blocking glasses and promoting those, because that's the same avatar. It's just people with the same pain point, but it's not as much competition to go after them and acquire them. So you're looking for harmonized partners, non that are non-compete with your primary product, if that makes sense.
Right.
So that's been like a big strategy that's worked really well for us to go, you know, and there's so many different ways that you can go levels deeper on that. The second step, again, systems. I want a prospecting list, and I've gotten really good at building these where I understand who's being prospected, what tier level they are, because what tier, and what I mean by tier is if you have 1 million followers, the outreach for the 1 million follower person is going to be a different strategy. It's going to take a lot longer time potentially, and the messaging is going to be very unique versus someone who has 5,000 followers. All those outreaches are very important to understand the distinctions between. And the expectations and the benchmarks that you set for your teams as how you close them are going to be very, very different. So it's, again, very bit of a boring process. Beyond that, tactically, some things that I would do for the outreach is hit them up on every single platform. And I know it sounds super annoying, and if you're getting outreach messages, but like they, it works. There's a reason why. And I would say find their primary platform. Let's say it's on IG. Start with an IG, but don't send them a textbook of a DM. You know what I mean? Like it's relevant to the platform you're outreaching them on. So I might say, hey, you know, John, just sent you a longer email to explain what I'm up to, but I really love to talk about a strategy I was thinking that we could collaborate on. Point them back to the email, and same thing through LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever you want, but just a couple of touch points here and there. And you can even, you can play on the fact that like, hey, I know this might be annoying. I get it. I get these messages, but I really think there's an opportunity here. And be playful, be genuine with it, and just be open and vulnerable. That's the biggest thing with outreach. It's like so many people do these dear sir or madam crap emails. And it's like, you know, just go levels deeper and please, please like make it personalized and get to know them, because if it's, there's a volume game too, by the way. I get that there's like people reaching 100,000 people or not 100, like 100 to 1,000 people a day. But like, if you really want to connect with a partner, go out of your way to learn who they are, understand them, and find connection points, like partnership 101, right? It's not exclusive to influencers. This is with everybody. So hope that answered the question, but happy to dive into any more, you know, deeper levels here.
Oh, totally. Yeah. So, you know, obviously this show is all around helping people scale, whether it's a coaching business, agency, and influencers is a really interesting one, because I don't think anyone's cracked this that I've met or talked to besides you. I'm curious to hear what is the difference between if I'm sending a DM to a person who has 1 million followers versus someone has 5,000, like what is the, if there's one or two specific things that you would change in those messages, what would they be?
It's something we revisit like every single month, because it does change and evolve like any system, right? Like AI is coming out. There's so many evolutions of things, but here's the main primary things that I'm looking at. If I'm overshooting somebody with 1 million followers, obviously competition is very high. Expectation of closing them within a week is not likely, but what they need to know, and you need to be prepared for, is you need to have the credibility behind your company. So no, don't go after like a Tim Ferriss if you've never, you know, closed a 5,000 follower influencer or content creator.
Yeah.
The second thing is to, again, be playful with, like, you know, you're not reaching out to the main head honcho at this company. So like talk to the people behind the scenes and then treat them with royalty. Treat their EAs, treat their marketing assistants. Everyone should get a product. Everyone should get the same treatment as if they are that head honcho. And then how much are you willing to pay? Like you have to be willing to pay for these 1 million followers, by the way. It's not like a freebie. I'll give you some product and you do some stuff for me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if it does happen, great, good for you. But you have to understand what they're after, what they value. Okay. So really just, you know, I'm ready to invest. We've already invested X amount in X partners and we're growing. So like, you know, it sounds a bit egotistical, but you need to flex a little bit and show that you are part of the bigger game and you're ready to run with the big dogs.
Right.
When it comes to the 5,000 follower counts and below, their reputation is really what they value the most, which is really, it's an awesome character trait to have. And it's somebody you want to align with as a brand and as a company, because they're looking for quality products. They're not just looking for a paycheck for the most part. Yep. So the way I'm doing that though, is I'm saying like, I recognize your integrity. I want to sponsor you with products, but hey, you get products thrown at you all the time. So here's how we're different culturally, core value wise, and our mission. They're after a product with a mission and a story, as opposed to just another paycheck. Now, that being said, the caveat is, of course, there are always people out there after paychecks. But if you're looking to align on those two levels, I would say those are the clear distinctions, is the money component, what they value, and, you know, again, laying out the roadmap of what you're willing to spend versus the 5,000 follower count. It's your mission, it's your story, it's your integrity, and the product has to be a superior product to others.
Got it. There's a very stark differences that in my mind, at least, you have. One, you got to show authority, credibility that you're willing to pay. You've got a budget. You've done this before in some capacity. And then the other one is more playing to the more intangible core values and benefits of the company. So that's super helpful for you. Obviously, you do this all the time, all day. What does it like look under the hood for you? Do you have like hundreds of people sending DMs all day? Is it like a team of five? What is that system when you're doing outreach look for you personally?
So it changes. When I'm consulting with people and they're looking to do, you know, build their teams, I don't have a set number and it depends on where they're at. But like, I'll give you an example right now. We've got an established influencer program. An influencer program, when I say influencer, it could be content creator on YouTube, could be podcast, but I'm talking like social influencers right now, like TikTokers, Instagrammers, et cetera, even people like, you know, on Twitter and stuff like that. So our team is not that big. And we don't do a lot of outreach, and we organically now have people coming to us because of the reputation we built. Mm-hmm. So our stance on outreach and how many people are doing it, it's very different from somebody who would be starting this full time. But I would say, you know, generally, if you have the right systems in place and you have a team that's trained and conditioned and understands deal making, and you present the deals, like you're the one as a CEO or a company leader, or product owner, you're going to lay out the foundational negotiation tactics and strategies. This is what we're willing to give up in margin. And this is like, you know, your playground to move around in. If you have somebody doing that like 40 hours a week, you know, full time, that's a lot of outreach. And it's going to be slow at first. It's going to be like, it's going to be hard to acquire. And there's two different roadmaps you can take. If you have some budget, you can go and acquire people pretty fast. Okay. And that's what I would potentially suggest doing while you're doing that. It's kind of the 80-20 principle. Try to get a few influencers in, like, you know, your stable, okay? Bring them in, if you have to pay for them, so that you have some reputation of like, I do work with influencers, I know what we're doing. And then while you're doing that, continue 80% of your time to get organic influencers who like, trust, and want to promote the product just through a rev share basis. And that's like, that's a win-win, right? If they don't make sales, then you don't make sales. But if they do, you both win together. And then there's this beautiful hybrid that I like to call. It's like, when you get someone on a paid deal, but all of a sudden they're like, they like you so much and you're not making enough from them because like their rates are too high. They're like, listen, I love you guys. I love your story. Let's do a hybrid deal. So like, I'm going to discount my rate by 50%. You give me 30 points and we have this win-win interest aligned deal. So I kind of got away from the initial question of like how many people are doing outreach, but there are companies.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Needs again that do this on a full scale basis if you've got the cash, but you don't need it. If you have somebody full time, even an influencer program manager, if they're doing like 20 hours a week with the right systems and accountability and check-ins, you can make some really good progress. And it's again on a bootstrapper's budget. Like this is like non-high ticket stuff, because there are agencies you could pay $6,000 a month and they'll do gifting strategies for you with potential no returns. You know? Yeah. So it's very dependent on price.
Love it. Okay. Two questions, and these are very tactical in the weeds here, so I don't want to spend too much time on them, but how much would you look at paying those initial influencers to say, hey, we've got some influencers we work with? I know there's a range or it varies, but is there a rule of thumb or some kind of, you know, ideas people could, you know, go by there?
Yeah, there's a profits potential calculator that I can link to, and they can actually download this. So you literally just put in people's metrics, their follower counts, their engagement rates, which is all free. You can find this stuff out. But I developed a bit of like a plus 21 point check system where you put all this in and it gives them a value equation. And it's like the probability of success for this person. And it takes a bit of like, you have to understand your core market and your avatar to say if it's a fit or not, but it pumps out a number. Okay, so that's the first step for me. The second step is pricing is very dependent on everyone's interpretation of their value. So there's similar to like, you know, CPM costs for podcast advertising, there's CPM costs for influencers. And they're typically the same range. It could be a high and a low. But I think the bigger question that I would always make sure everyone's asking isn't like, is this influencer worth it or not? It's how much do you want to allocate to a test budget? Because if you just test two influencers, it's not going to go that well. And if it doesn't go well, you're pulling the cord on something that can be very lucrative over time just because like it's too short-sighted of a decision-making filter. So similar to anything, if you're testing a Facebook creative, you're not going to test one, you're going to test 10. You're not going to test it for a week. You're going to test it for multiple weeks and you're going to be at peace with the potential loss from that. And the horror story that I hear all the time, it's like, I paid $5,000 to influencer Sally Jane. I made nothing from it. Influencers suck. It's like, well, that's not exactly true. And you got to test big. So my advice to people would be, don't go after the people with 250,000 followers because it's going to blow your budget. I would start smaller and I would set the intention a little bit differently. So maybe target 10,000 followers or less. The CPMs are going to be good. You could probably, you know, anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 is going to give you a good indication, but try to spread that across 10 influencers. From there, don't let the fruit rot on the ground. Ask them for licensing deals, which typically will come part of the package, maybe for like 3 months. You could license it longer term and then use those in your marketing. And then you can also do two things. You can advertise, if they're doing a video ad for you, for like a video promotion of your product, be very specific with what you're asking them to do. Okay, you need a playbook, you need a script, and you need to know your own marketing so that you communicate exactly what to say. And I'll give an example of how we evolved one ad to like a six-figure to like an eight-figure ad. But then it's also using that. So now if you have a Facebook or Meta page, you're going to amplify that ad. You're going to use that and you're going to acquire customers through that same creative. And then simultaneously, you can boost it through their profile called creator licensing or something else that back in the day was called whitelisting. So it's basically coming like from your profile.
Yes,
so multi-leverage points when you're doing any influencer stuff. It's very, very important. But back to the last, I think this is important because a lot of people miss the mark on this. They don't communicate the key messaging of their product. So they rely on, oh, the influencer probably knows this product is the best for this one pain point or one benefit. That's not the case. Right. They might go off the cuff and say something completely different. We were advertising something about stress and it was doing fairly well. All of a sudden we switched to sleep and it like skyrocketed. Okay. But some of the influencers were still using stress as their main pain point and they weren't doing as well as the ones using sleep. So as soon as we made that shift, so I just think that it's important to keep up the communication and to provide the playbooks and scripts for those influencers. So that was, again, probably more than you'd ask, but well, I'm going to give a lot of value, hopefully.
Oh, dude, you just did. Okay. So this is like knowledge bomb for you. So let me just get this straight. $5,000 to $10,000 is the test budget. We want to spread that around ideally 10 different influencers. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Then in those negotiations, in those deals, we want to say, hey, we want the license to use the creative that you create. So if I created a TikTok reel about your product, I want to be able to use that on my ads, on my like in my ads manager to run traffic to it cold. Am I still on the right path?
Correct.
Okay. And then we can also run that same ad, that same creative on their inside of their ads manager. That would be called whitelisting, or now it's called, what's it called now?
Creative. Creator licensing, amplification, everyone has a different name.
Creator licensing, whitelisting. Okay, cool. I've heard of whitelisting, but so got it. So you're taking that ad or that ad they, or content they created, putting money behind it and running it on their ad. So now it shows up in the feed as an advertisement from XYZ influencer, but it's about your product. I love it. All right, cool. And then what else did I miss there? Because I was just wrap my head around that. I was like, holy shit. That's a whole new way of thinking of it.
Some tactical things. And this is just social influencers. We could probably do a whole other episode on podcast advertising, which was how we got into influencers, by the way. Like it wasn't influencers at the start. We got into podcast ads in 2018. And so there's two other channels that I'll talk about briefly. But the other tactical things you can do in negotiation strategies, because this is a lot to take in. It's like, how do I do whitelisting? How do I boost my own ads? And if you know of a Facebook guy, like that's a lot. So the point is, though, the post itself is just the start of a bigger thing. So even if you just get the post, that's fine. But expect that you're going to get maybe, I don't know, 50% of the returns you possibly could if you amplify that using the methods I just mentioned. Now, the key to the negotiation thing, and not everyone's going to say yes to this, and you can adjust it for your own business, but everyone wants a percentage of ad spend. It's like, okay, well, like, you know, if you're going to advertise on Facebook through my account, I want 5% of ad spend. that's a really bad deal. You know, like you're going to make money on my ad spend. I prefer doing it where it's like, hey, I'll pay you more on the profit share. And then all of a sudden you're in a commission-based deal with them and they want to see you succeed with that ad. So they're going to put in more effort. They're going to want you to continue to amplify it to the point that they might not even want you to license it anymore. I mean, they still might want to, but you can have some room for negotiation because they're making more money from the ad as well. So that's another strategy to keep them engaged and keep them interested in the performance of the ad.
Right. So just to break that down for people, you're paying the ad spend. Your media buyer, whoever, is setting up the ad inside of their account. And then whatever, you know, whatever sales come from that ad, they're going to make a percentage of that, just like they would a standard affiliate deal.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, cool. Love. That is ninja. Completely ninja. Since we're on a podcast, I have to probably chat with you offline about this because we're doing some interesting things in this space. Talk to me about how this varies from podcast advertising. We know that the CPMs, cost per thousand listens, is different in terms of like the value of that. But I'm curious, does the outreach strategy and really testing the $5,000 to $10,000, trying to get 10 people, 10 different influencers, does that still ring true in podcasting, if I'm making sense?
Yeah, no, and I'm just judging how much time we have. So I'll try to go just as deep as I can, as fast as I can.
Yeah, cool.
So in 2018, 2017, I got into podcast ads by the referral of like Matt, the CEO. He's like, we're gonna do podcast ads. I'm like, cool. I don't really know what a podcast is. I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, it's like CB radios in their basement here. And it's coming from a guy who didn't have a cell phone until I was like 28. Okay. I was just totally technologically, you know, disadvantaged. But I started to do podcast ads. I just applied the same system. Like I call it the partner up profit system of like partnership building. And I just build business development channels out of any partnership play. I don't care what it is. So for podcasts, it was like, okay, let's go do this. Now, answer your question, it's not somewhere I'd start with influencers. It is expensive to get into. Yep. Where I would start is finding influencers who have podcasts that want to have you on their interview. And then they might just, again, if there's something for them to gain through advertising your product more, commission-based or maybe a hybrid deal, then that's where I would start there. I would start with influencers, build in the podcast ads with trusted authority figures who want to work with you. I wouldn't go knock on the big podcasters and hand them over tens of thousands of dollars because it's a very tricky game to get into. There's some mitigation systems that I could put in place for clients to help them, but you do have to have a bigger wallet to get into that. So that's the difference of strategy. Now, tactically, if you want to get in podcast ads, I would say you need to be ready to commit for 3 months at the very least. And the results aren't going to be seen in the first month. So if you're used to Facebook advertising, you put a dollar in, you get $2 out, let's say the next day, podcast ads don't work that way. And there's a distinction between podcast ads. Dynamic insertions, meaning they live for maybe 30 days, versus baked in ads, which are evergreen, always on, provided the host doesn't like replace you with a dynamic insertion at some point. Now, baked in ads are making us money still from a podcast released 8 years ago. They live on and they're like lucrative. Dynamic, it's a harder game to play. And depending on how you measure results, if you're using shared attribution across channels, it doesn't always look the most profitable. But podcast customers are some of the highest AOV customers. Because think of podcast listeners, and you know this, you know, better than anybody. You have someone's attention for 30, 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like that's a lot in this day and age of these dopamine loops where people lose. And, you know, it's like curiosity. It's like shiny object syndrome. So when they're ready to buy, man, they buy a lot and they are loyal customers. So long tail LTV is really big in this channel. And the second one I'll just mention because it's worth mentioning and worth understanding because it's trending and it's going to be a big one in the next 10 years. YouTube creators. So like YouTube creators still hasn't peaked. It's growing exponentially. Now, the difference between a podcast ad versus a YouTube creator, and I've done YouTube placements too, okay? Meaning I've sponsored somebody, they go, hey, try the Jawsercise, right? Or try like this product. Yeah. And it's like a placement. And then they go into their video. I'm talking like, I tried the Rocks diet for 30 days and here's what's up. I tried, you know, Andrew Huberman's diet. Those type of creators, first off, they're entertaining, they're engaged audiences, and those videos live on for so long. And that is a long tail effect again that no one's really putting a lot of time and effort into. And I think it's a very massive underdeveloped opportunity that if somebody starts to like apply the right strategies, can make a lot of money in the next 10 years with the business.
Right. So that's like co-created branded content where it's like, we're giving you our diet, we're giving you our supplements, try it for 30 days, make a video on it. And that's a deeper game, but I can totally see the long tail value in that if you are a brand and company with a budget that wants to invest in, yeah, in something like that. That makes total sense, dude. That's amazing. I've got so many things I want to talk to you about, Joey, but I'm gonna stop here. And I want to ask this question. On this show, it's all around scaling up, and a lot of times it's agencies or it's brands or supplement brands. If somebody wants to apply what we talked about today, what does their first 30 days of applying what we shared today look like? And let's just say they're just going after social influencers. Let's say they have a course or a program that's already proven. What does that look like? But they have no partnership or affiliate program.
Well, not to be like self-indulgent, but I would say if you're interested in learning more, I work exclusively with Bioptimizer and Utopia as the head of partnerships, and I love it. My passion project is teaching people how to do this because I can't alleviate my time to consult to the hours that would be needed for me to help people scale this. So yeah. I've got a couple courses. One is totally free and it's over like 4 hours of content on how to get into this. There's free templates and structures on everything from your outreach master tracking sheet to playbooks on how to write effective scripts, and then just understanding how to get into the influencer marketing game. And it's a partner of profits. And again, it is free. There's nothing to buy. If you want to buy the extra courses and the bigger packages to train your influencer managers to become like world-class managers, that's a different story. But I would just say like start to really get into material. And regardless if it's me or not, find somebody to follow on this and just systematically break this down into a step-by-step process. Start small, decide on a budget. And the first KPI you need to measure before getting in touch with anybody, what's your current acquisition cost for a customer? So that CAC cost is very important because you're going to deal with a lot of misattribution when it comes to influencers. You're going to see spikes that don't necessarily account to a coupon code sale or a link sale. So as you continue to get into the influencer marketing game, I want to monitor that KPI, the customer acquisition cost, because that should be going down as you do more influencer work. And then, of course, it comes down to like, how do you analyze the effectiveness of an influencer? But to me, it's just we're trying to drive that cost down. You should be measuring it from day one. But yeah, I would say material, learn. And like I said, the Partner of Profits course is there. And I've got a toolbox of systems, templates, scripts that you can use.
Dude, so day one is go and get that free course. And we're going to link it. Is there a URL to it? I'm curious in doing it as well, just for my own self-needs.
PartnerofProfits.com. It'll be somewhere in the footer menus or whatever, and you'll find it. And it's free. Just give me your email. That's the only currency I accept. And after that, if you want to get into higher courses, they're there too.
Love it. Okay, cool. So getting that, let's just say they want to do this on themselves. They, for some reason, don't know about this amazing program or course. What are those 30 days high level look like from scratch?
So if they want to just kind of do it themselves, I would say you need to first define who your perfect influencer is. You need to develop a lookalike audience based on that perfect influencer. So number one, throw metrics as far as follower counts out the window. Vanity metrics are not important in my mind. Okay. So, you know, if you're going to go after like Joe Rogan or somebody, which by the way, you know, we spent money with Rogan and that was one of the biggest mistakes I made in a way, not because I don't love Rogan, but it was like, it was out of our league. And I just think that you need to understand that prior to going into this. And so first step, define your perfect avatar, influencer and customer. Define 10 key lookalikes, who are people that have a similar account to those people. Set up a proper outreach tracking master sheet. Set some KPIs, set some expectations, measure it in 30, 60 days, improve, optimize, and continue to put more budget into it when you find winners and scale.
I'm going to ask a dumb question. How many outreaches would you recommend doing per day?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Depends on which, you know.
Yeah, depends.
I would honestly, the more you can do, the better, especially with influencers. There's a lot of them out there. Podcasts, different story. It's a bit of a longer game. But I would say anywhere from 100, you know, outreaches a day, at least 100 outreach messages going out, both like new messages and replies, things like that.
Got it. Dude, love it. So PartnerUpProfits is .com is the correct website?
Yeah.
PartnerUpProfits.com. Okay, cool. Love it. If anybody wants to know more or reach out to you personally, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, they can go to partnerupprofits.com and Joey at partnerupprofits.com. Like I said, I'm not really active on social, even though I make my living off of social influencers. I'm the anomaly, but yeah, I mean, everyone can find everyone these days. So, and like, you know, we've got many opportunities for both affiliates and people to learn. Like I know so many companies looking for great partners too. So happy to make intros and just happy to kind of network with people if that's really all they're after too.
Love it. Cool. Joey, dude, thank you so much. I learned some really cool shit today, and I appreciate you for sharing. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, and appreciate you letting me rant about the influencer world because I'm passionate about it. Love it.
Thanks again, brother.
You're listening to How Did You Scale That? The show where we dive into what's worked for entrepreneurs who have made over seven figures in their business. Whether it's a tactic, a marketing campaign, a sales system, or something ridiculously simple, this is the show where we unpack it and give it to you to help you grow your six-figure business into a seven-figure business and beyond. I'm Luis Diaz. Now let's meet our guests for today.